America, in the face of our common dangers, in this winter of our hardship, let us remember these timeless words. With hope and virtue, let us brave once more the icy currents and endure what storms may come. Let it be said by our children's children that when we were tested, we refused to let this journey end, that we did not turn back, nor did we falter. And with eyes fixed on the horizon and God's grace upon us, we carried forth that great gift of freedom and delivered it safely to future generations.
The inaugural address of President Barack Obama in 2009. How many of those great bloviating words were lived up to over the past 8 years? I would say certainly not many. But today, ladies and gentlemen, Donald J. Trump will be inaugurated as the 45th president of the United States. It is amazing the journey that we have been on throughout this campaign season. Now, we are going to be carrying the inauguration live here on 1250 WTMA, and you can catch all the action right here. So we got a very busy show for you this morning. We're going to be talking with a lot of folks that are up in Washington, D.C., and not only that, in New York City. Congressman Mark Sanford is going to be calling in just a little before 8 o'clock this morning. We'll talk to him around 7:50, and lots to do today as Inauguration Day is here. Do you remember? I think it's going to be iconic in the years to come when Donald Trump riding down on that escalator in Trump Tower to announce that he was running for president of the United States, and everybody was like, that's funny, Donald. You are a crack up, man. We love you. And then here we are a year and so later, and Donald Trump will be inaugurated today on the steps of the Capitol building. They're going to walk a mile and a half after the swearing-in ceremony to the White House. There will be a parade. It's only going to be about 75 to 90 minutes today. I think the longest inauguration parade was for Dwight Eisenhower, and I think that thing is should be winding up any minute now. So it's just a big day in Washington, D.C. Of course, we'll be bringing you all of the action right here on WTMA. We're going to have a lot to talk about this morning as far as the inauguration is concerned of Donald J. Trump. Having birthdays today, John Michael Montgomery, 52 years old today. Lorenzo Lamas is 59. Bill Maher, 61 years old, if anyone cares. Paul Stanley from Kiss is 65. Did you ever think your rock and roll heroes would be eligible for Social Security? I didn't. But that day has come. Paul Stanley, by the way, has had a hip replacement. Yeah. David Lynch, 71 years old today. He directed The Elephant Man and a lot of other very dark movies. Let's see. Edwin Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon, 87 years old today. Artie Johnson. And you might have thought he had passed away, but no, he is 88 years old today. We remember him from Laugh-In with one of his favorite lines. Very interesting. Remember that? He played the Nazi. George Burns was born on this day in 1896. DeForest Kelly was born on this day in 1920. He was Dr. McCoy on Star Trek. Today is Inauguration Day. We've got 8 days until the year of the rooster. Groundhog Day will be here in 13 days. Super Bowl 51 will be here 16 days from now. And we've got 51 days until daylight savings time. It was on this day in 1892, 125 years ago today. The first official basketball game was played at a YMCA school in Springfield, Massachusetts. The players used beach baskets, but they didn't cut the bottom out of the basket. So every time somebody scored a goal, the janitor would have to come out with a ladder, walk up, and get the ball out. And finally somebody said, you know what, I don't have time for this. Just cut the bottom out of the doggone thing. 1952, the first professional female bullfighter to compete in Mexico. Her name was Patricia McCormick. She defeated two bulls. There you go. 1961, John F. Kennedy was sworn in as the 35th president of the United States. Of course, that speech having the famous quote.
And so, my fellow Americans, Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
It was on this day that Ronald Reagan was sworn in as the 40th president of the United States.
The economic ills we suffer have come upon us over several decades. They will not go away in days, weeks, or months, but they will go away. They will go away because we, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Yes, sir. You are correct about that. 1989, George Bush, H.W. Bush, was sworn in as the 41st president of the United States. He is still in the hospital. He was in intensive care a couple days ago. Barbara Bush was also admitted to the hospital. She says she's feeling 1,000% better. Get well, President Bush. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie's phone line is open now at 843-556-1250. That's 843-556-1250. It's the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 622, 22 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. I want to take a moment and just point something out to you. Whenever you go to a radio market, you know, a town like, you know, Charleston, Columbia, Charlotte, or whatever, there's always a guy. There's always the guy, the radio guy. And he is usually considered a legend in the market. And whenever people get together and they talk about radio, that guy's name usually comes up. Well, we lost that guy on Wednesday. Bob Booby Nash passed away at the age of 77. Here's a little bit of Booby.
Jesse Belvin, everybody. It's 9:20 in the evening on Uncle Boob's radio showground from WTMA. Well, it's the beginning of a new year. I walked to the boss's office. I slammed my fist down on the desk and I said, "Hey, Dodo, boss, I want a raise. After all, it's been over a year since I've had a raise and I want one." He says, "All right." Well, I was amazed. So I walked out feeling real good. I came back at the station an hour later, and there was the raise on my desk. A pair of elevator shoes. Wonder how the boss would like a scar to match his personality.
How about that?
So Booby Nash, he was one of the greats here in Charleston, passing away at the age of 77 after a brief illness. I got to talk to Booby. It was last year, wasn't it, John? We got to talk with him. Maybe the year before. We got down to talk to him, found out he was a fan of the show, and that really meant a lot to me. So Booby Nash will be missed, passing away at the age of 77. All right, more on the inauguration coming up. Don't forget, we'll be talking with Congressman Mark Sanford this morning about 7:50. We'll have Bob Constantini from Washington, D.C. at 9:06. Steve Kastenbaum will be around at 9:35, and at 8:35 this morning, we're going to be talking with Jim Roop about some of the protests that are going on today in Washington, D.C., and really in just about every state in the union. We'll talk about those protests coming up next on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
You know, that really grinds my gears.
On 1250 WTMA.
No one is really sure what Trump is going to do in office. It's a grab bag. But this week, he explained to the Washington Post how he plans to deliver on his hat campaign promise.
How are people going to know that America is a great again? It's a subjective thing.
Because I'm going to tell them.
Yeah. He's going to tell them. Okay, America will be great when he says it is. Okay? Yeah. It's like your dad saying, "You love Colonial Williamsburg. We drove all the way down here from St. Louis. You are having fun, mister. This is fun."
All right, so Charleston's own humiliation, Stephen Colbert on Donald Trump. And, of course, we know, Stephen, that you're crying and you're staining your makeup every single night in your dressing room as you not only cry about your dismal ratings, but also the fact that your candidate, Hillary Clinton, did not win. There you go. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Going to be talking all morning long about the inauguration. And don't forget, right around, I think it's 11:30, we're going to start carrying the inauguration live right here on 1250 WTMA, so you can always check out on check that out. Did you see the concert last night there at the Lincoln Memorial? An American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sister, I will proudly take a stand. I mean, if you look at the video of this thing, there are just thousands and thousands of people at that concert. It was a huge crowd there at the Lincoln Memorial. What a great picture last night. I tweeted this out. I retweeted it, rather. And there's Donald Trump and Melania, and they are standing in front of the statue of Abraham Lincoln there at the Lincoln Memorial. And I'll tell you what, it is a fantastic picture. And here's what I tweeted. I said, can you feel it? There's a new wind blowing. And Donald Trump, and of course, Eric Trump, it was either Eric or Donald Trump Jr. I can't remember which one. He was right behind his, you know, Donald Trump and Melania. And he did a picture of them right there. It was really, really fantastic. Anyway, it's just this great picture of Donald Trump and Melania right there in front of the statue of Abraham Lincoln. And it's a new day, folks. There's a new wind blowing in this country. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. If you have any comments, want to talk about the inauguration, we would love to have you on this morning. Don't forget, coming up, we're going to have Bob Constantini a little after 9 o'clock. 8:35 before that, we'll be talking with Jim Roop. He's in New York City because they're having all of these protests going on in New York and really all over the place. But last night, New York City, right there near Trump Tower, I think it was Michael Moore. There was, who else was there? Alec Baldwin was there doing his impression of Trump. So we'll run some of that down for you. Let's go to Paul out in Somerville this morning. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Top of the morning to you.
Yes, sir. How are you?
It's a great day for America.
It is a great day for America. Donald J. Trump will be the 45th president of the United States. What do you think about that, Paul?
That is just fantastic. And my son wants to say something about that, too, if he can.
Yeah, let's hear.
Hi, Christopher LaRue.
Hey, who's this?
Christopher LaRue.
Christopher, how are you, buddy? How do you feel about this inauguration today?
Good. It is Donald Trump Day.
Fantastic. Oh.
As you can tell, he's pretty pumped, too.
So, yeah.
I promised him we will try to get on the radio. So.
Well, good job. How old is he?
He's 9.
9 years old, already making his broadcasting debut, Paul. That's fantastic, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Paul calling in for Somerville with his son, who says it is Donald Trump Day in America, and I certainly can't agree more with you. It's 6:44, about 16 minutes until 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's the great American pastime. Complaining. And where would talk radio be without it? Get it off your chest by calling Charlie James now. 843-556-1250. This is the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's Inauguration Day. Donald J. Trump will be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. We have got 5 hours, 10 minutes, 50 seconds until the inauguration happens, and Barack Hussein Obama will be former President Barack Obama. Doesn't that sound good? Former President Barack Obama. Former President Barack Obama. However, he pardoned over 300 people yesterday. I'm going to run down the list of some of these and I'm using the air quotes here with my fingers, non-violent drug offenders. I'm going to be running down the list of those coming up in just a few minutes because you're not going to believe some of the people that he commuted the sentences of or pardoned yesterday. So how much damage? Let me ask you something here. How much damage can a man do to a nation in 5 hours, 9 minutes, and 50 seconds. How much damage? We are hearing this morning that there have been negotiations going on for weeks now, that Hillary and former President Bill Clinton have been negotiating a plan for a potential pardon from President Barack Obama that would spare Hillary from any criminal indictment. This is according to sources from the Justice Department. And we hear that those talks ended late Wednesday. There are also predictions. Representative Michelle Bachmann out of Minnesota is also saying she's predicting that Obama will surprise the country on Friday with potential presidential pardons for Hillary, Bill, and Chelsea, as well as the Clinton Foundation. I don't know legally how that works, because remember, Hillary hadn't been indicted. She hadn't been indicted for anything. So how can you pardon someone when they keep claiming they didn't commit a crime? Let's go west of the Ashley and talk to James. Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm doing well, Charlie. How about yourself?
Fantastic. It's Inauguration Day, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I was a reluctant Trump supporter, but, you know, the thing that I like about today and Inauguration Day is the fact that we have, you know, two opposing viewpoints, and we're basically transferring that power peacefully, you know, and we're not running into a situation where, like I heard on the news yesterday in Gambia, where they
right.
recently had an election, and the current president of Gambia, who lost, is refusing to step down and allow the new president to be sworn in. So, you know, whether you like Trump or not, you know, whether you hated the last 8 years and disliked Obama, it's great that we live in a country where we can say, okay, I may not agree with this guy, but they're the people taking over.
Right.
And, you know, the sitting president, while he may not like that his party lost, is not throwing a fit saying, well, I'm not leaving because I don't like the result.
So. Yeah, you see, in these little countries like Gambia and Senegal and all of these other little countries, then really the person in power is the person who has the backing and the support of the military.
Right.
So, right. I mean, this guy could stand up. He could be in the presidential palace for as long as he wants to, as long as he's got the support of the guys with the guns and the tanks.
Right. And I think that should be the focus. Again, whether you like Trump, like his, you know, his proposed policies, whatever, you know, that should be everybody's focus, is the fact that we're not living in a country where whoever is currently in power can just say, no, I'm not leaving. And, you know, the only way you're going to get rid of me is through a coup or a violent, you know, civil war.
Right.
You know, especially when there's been democratically held elections, you know, in that country.
You're right. James, so, I appreciate you calling in. But James, thank you very much. Now, okay, so following along with that conversation, what does CNN do? I don't know anybody that is more biased. Now, could you imagine? Let's imagine this. Barack Obama wins the presidency first time back in 2008. George W. Bush is in office. Could you imagine CNN coming out with a story that says, that outlines how George W. Bush could stay in office if Obama were assassinated? Could you imagine CNN doing a story like, no, of course you couldn't, because they would never do it. However, they did it with Donald J. Trump. They are being lambasted, and rightfully so. Now, remember, this is the same quote-unquote news organization that said their credibility is higher than ever. Well, apparently that's not the case. Coming up in just a second, I'm going to tell you exactly what they did. But I got to get to Bill west of the Ashley. Good morning, Bill. How are you? You're a happy man today.
Yes. Finally, we get to alleviate ourselves of the traitor that has been occupying the White House. because that's what he is. And I've heard about the blanket pardon stuff.
Yeah.
Coming down from on top or somewhere in the back rooms of Washington. And it's going to be a travesty if that happens.
It absolutely will. It will be a travesty.
Because, I mean, that just proves that there's some people beyond reproach in this country as far as the legal system.
Well, we've already seen great examples of that, Bill. I appreciate you calling in. 5 hours, 4 minutes, 15 seconds now until Obama leaves office. What damage could he do? Now, here's what CNN did. It boggles the mind how a news organization, a quote-unquote news organization, can come out with something like this. The report was called Disaster Could Put Obama Cabinet Member in Oval Office. It goes on to speculate who would be in charge if an attack hit the incoming president as the transfer of power took place. And it explained that an Obama administration official would be taking power if the entire top level of the presidential line succession is wiped out. Really? Is that the depths? Is that the depths that CNN has sunk to? Do you think that is? So did you see this story when Obama was taking office? Tonight on CNN, what would happen if all of, you know, if Obama were assassinated and Joe Biden were assassinated and all of Obama's cabinet members were assassinated? What would happen then? Do you remember that story? No, because it did not happen. CNN, they are the lowest of the low. It's almost as if CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, all the networks are in a mad dash to the bottom. Here are your headlines in 60 seconds.
Donald Trump takes the oath of office.
On Capitol Hill, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer slammed the incoming president's cabinet picks, calling them a swamp of billionaires and bankers.
Every day, a major ethical lapse among the nominees for the cabinet.
Steven Mnuchin, picked to head the Treasury Department, faced questions about $100 million in offshore assets he hadn't disclosed.
Paul McCartney is suing Sony ATV Music Publishing to reclaim the copyright to old Beatles songs he wrote and co-wrote with John Lennon.
President Obama just shortening the sentences of more than 300 drug offenders in what may be his last major act as president.
The number of people filing first-time jobless claims took another bump down last week. The Labor Department first-time applications for unemployment fell by 15,000 to 234,000.
The Oakland Raiders filed the paperwork for their move to Vegas.
Western Union is agreeing to pay $586 million as part of a settlement with the federal government.
All right, those are your headlines in 60 seconds. I'm doing a brief word search here. Let me just see. Oh, there we go. We got 300 people that Obama has commuted or pardoned. One of them is from Rock Hill, Antonio Jaron Hemphill. His offense was conspiracy to possess with the intent to distribute 50 grams of cocaine. We got other folks on here with gun possession, gun charges against them. So please tell me how this administration was tough on crime. All right, more on this coming up. Plus, what's going on in the White House right now as we speak? It's 6:59 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. You are probably going to see more man buns at these protests than this could set a Guinness Book of World Record for the largest collection of man buns in one place in the history of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not since the Dothrakis on Game of Thrones have you seen this many man buns? And I do blame that program for bringing up. No, sir, you are not a Dothraki. I'm sorry. You are not a Targaryen. You're not one of those people. You work at Starbucks. You're not tough. All right. So anyway, they're going to be having the protest. And it's amazing to me that these women will get together and protest Donald Trump becoming the 45th president of the United States because of this, I don't know. There's false talking points about Donald Trump. He's going to take away women's rights. Oh, he's going to take away women's rights. There's no evidence of that. Oh, Donald Trump is a racist. Nope, sorry, no evidence of that. Oh, Donald Trump is, you know, he's going to be putting people on a list and putting them in internment camps. Rachel Maddow, that guy that works at MSNBC, young gentleman, probably has a man bun. Rachel Maddow is wondering if Donald Trump is going to send her to a camp. Really? I'll bet you've been to band camp, Rachel. It's 14 minutes past 7 o'clock. As I said, Bubby Nash passing away at the age of 77 on Wednesday. Tim is in Mount Pleasant. Good morning, Tim. Do you remember Bubby?
I do, man. I tell you, I've been listening to WTMA since I was just a child tugging on my mother's apron strings, and she always had WTMA on in the morning. And
yeah.
Bubby Nash was a star in his day.
Oh, absolutely.
Serious condolences to his family. There was a time when everybody in Charleston knew his name. Everybody, he was a star. No doubt.
Absolutely, yeah. He was the guy.
Listen, man, congratulations to Donald Trump and the United States of America. We're turning this ship around. A big ship turns slow, however, but we're turning the ship around. And I had no idea Obama could do so much damn damage as he's doing right now. This guy is not on our side.
It doesn't. No. I mean, here's the thing. And somebody posted something really telling. They said, once you realize that he is not a fan of the United States of America, then it all makes sense. It all makes sense then.
Just as it helps, I hope he can't pardon Hillary and Bill. Criminals like that need to be held up as an example of the elite not being above the common man, and if they
right.
break the law, they get treated the same way as a lawbreaker that's a bum in the street.
Right, and I agree, Tim. I appreciate you calling in. And my thought is, can you pardon someone who hasn't been indicted for a crime? I don't know. I mean, is that what happened with Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford? We'll talk about this more coming up. We've only got 4 hours, 43 minutes, and 50 seconds until Donald Trump takes the oath of office. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show. Between now and 10 on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA.
So what's it going to be like when Donald Trump moves in and Barack Obama moves out? We'll have that coming up for you in just a second. Here's Rob in Somerville. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. What's up, buddy?
Just gone to, finally be happy about the time here after, 8 years. We can stop hoping for change.
Right.
And because with this new president coming in, we got the start of a Trump nation and the end of the Obama nation.
There you go. That's a perfect way to put it. The end of the abomination. That is that's what we're going to have today. Coming up in, let me get you the official countdown. Do I still have this thing up? No, maybe not. A little over 4 hours from now. All right. So today, yesterday, we saw the wreath laying ceremony at to honor the nation's fallen soldiers. We had that. They had the Make America Great Again welcome celebration. And they had a huge fireworks show at the Potomac. They had the candlelight dinner last night. Today, Donald Trump is going to be attending a private family breakfast. Then he will go over to St. John's Episcopal Church, and he will take his seat at, I think it's pew number 45, which is known as the presidential pew for the prayer service. Going to have coffee date at the White House. Then there's going to be the swearing-in ceremony. Now, at 9:30, like I said, Donald Trump is going to be having coffee at the White House. And he's going to meet with Barack Obama. Donald Trump and Melania will meet with Barack and Michelle Obama. They'll have coffee. Then they're going to ride together. Mr. Trump and Mr. Obama are going to ride together down Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol. 11:30. All the officials and the dignitaries are going to gather for the swearing-in ceremony. That is going to be happening right around noon today. So we will carry that live for you here on 1250 WTMA. But I'm just kind of wondering here a little bit. I'm wondering what it's going to be like when Donald Trump moves into the White House. And is it going to be a smooth transition? I'm not sure.
Michelle, honey, it's time to go now.
No, no, you can't make me leave. This is my home.
Look, I know it's difficult. I know we've been here for 8 years, but it's time to go now. The plane's not going to wait for us like it used to.
I don't want to go.
Hey, Barack.
Oh.
No,
hey, Donald.
No, no. You are not.
Oh, yeah.
Leave.
You're right.
No, you are not Mr.
President.
No.
Yeah, that's better.
No, no, no,
listen, Barack, I really thought you would have been out of here by now.
You can't make me leave.
Yeah, we were planning to, but there's a little snafu in moving.
Sure sounds like a lot of noise up there. What's going on?
Oh, that's Michelle. She just got her last-minute kickboxing class. She's very, very athletic.
Uh-huh. You gonna pay for that?
Yeah, I'll write you a check.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
He's testing you, yeah.
On 1250 WTMA.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Congressman Mark Sanford about what the day is going to hold for him, what that's going to be like. But right now, let's go to the phones and talk some sports with Gene Sapikoff from the Post and Courier. Good morning, Gene. How are you?
Great, Charlie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Big crowd last night at the TD Arena, but the College of Charleston fell to the Seahawks.
A necessary part of the process.
Yes.
The Cougars are still rebuilding here, Charlie. It was both teams in first place. College of Charleston hung with UNC Wilmington for most of that game, a real defensive struggle. They both play real tough full-court defense, but UNC Wilmington, Charlie, was picked to go back to the NCAA tournament. They won the league last year, and just a little bit too tough right now, mm-hmm. and a little bit too mature for CFC, which is quite a young team that Earl Grant has there, but not a shameful loss at all, and I still really think CFC is headed in absolutely the right direction.
So, I mean, you talked about the maturity. What are we looking at? I mean, how many freshmen and sophomores do we have on that team right now?
Yeah, he's playing a lot of young guys, and he's got a really deep team, too, mm-hmm. with some really exciting youth. And this team, I think, is a year away. I think next year they're going to be really good. And the way recruiting's going, too, I think it just has a good situation going forward. But that tough defense that they play, that kind of style works on the road, at home, at neutral sites. Hey, the conference tournament is at the North Charleston Coliseum, so maybe they get UNC Wilmington there, and it'll be a little different, you know, in 6 weeks or so.
Right.
But, I think right now, though, UNC Wilmington just has that caginess about them that makes them very difficult to beat anywhere.
And Clemson losing last night.
Yeah, you know, it was weird. They got off to a good start. They led Louisville over the first several minutes, but then to lose by 32, and this Clemson team is really in a slump now, 1-5 in the ACC. It's weird. They had such a good non-conference start. In fact, of the five best teams in the SEC right now, Clemson has 3 wins over Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina, but just not getting it done in the ACC, and they better turn it around quickly.
Absolutely. And, of course, this weekend we got the NFL playoffs, and we've got some local ties in the playoffs this weekend, don't we?
Yeah, it's always fun with this Matthews clan. Clay Matthews was a former NFL player from Charleston High mm-hmm. School here, and his 2 sons, Bruce and Clay, went on to play in the NFL and be stars. And their sons are in the NFL now, and Jake Matthews starts on the offensive line for the Falcons. He'll be going up against his first cousin, Clay Matthews, of the Green Bay Packers, the long-haired linebacker.
Yeah.
So that's always fun for people that know the Matthews family here in Charleston. And their great-grandfather, Matty Matthews, way back, Charlie, was a boxing coach at the Citadel. So a lot of
we're talking about a dynasty here.
Oh, my gosh, it's amazing. 3 generations of football Matthews in the NFL plus Matty Matthews. It's just a really cool story.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of the NFL, what are they talking about with Deshaun Watson from Clemson? Where could he end up?
Well, our Grace Rayner of the Post and Courier talked to Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN yesterday about Deshaun Watson. And interestingly, we'll later have a Q&A with Mel Kiper's hair to see exactly how Mel styles it. But anyway, there's a lot of discrepancy on Deshaun Watson, Charlie. Some people think he's not even a first-round pick. And
really?
Some people have him in the first 5 picks. Yeah, he did throw a lot of interceptions his last couple years at Clemson. But he also is just so smart, so physically talented, and has played so well against the best teams like Alabama. So Mel Kiper has him as the 10th overall pick in the draft, which is in late April. Other people have him middle of the first round or late in the first round. I think it's just going to depend, Charlie, on what happens at these off-season workouts with these individual teams and then also at the combine in Indianapolis.
All right, Gene Sapikoff with the Post and Courier. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you very much. It's 7:45 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
If it's being talked about in Charleston, it's being talked about here. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:50, 10 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Please welcome to the program right now. We've got Congressman Mark Sanford on with us. Good morning, sir. You're going to have a busy day today.
I think that's an understatement.
Yes. What's it going to be like in Washington today?
Chaos, confusion, at least at the ground level, not if you're, a president, vice president, cabinet. I guess it's pretty easy for them to move around, but we've got a lot of folks from home that are showing up and trying to get to their requisite spots and viewing this historic day. And so it's going to be busy. And then after that event, they got the parade. Whatnot, things go from there. So
right, lots of going on today. But this is one of those things that a lot of countries don't have, this peaceful transition of power. That really is iconic here in America, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's what we should ultimately celebrate today, whether one was for or against Trump. We've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
And, there have been changes from Republicans to Democrat or Democrat to Republican over the years, and folks have had really great concern, strained feelings, and yet our republic has survived this. And I think it's important to put that context in place,
right?
Because this idea of transition of power in a peaceful way is a huge, huge deal.
It really is. I mean, we're seeing other elections around the world where it doesn't go as smoothly as it goes here. And this is, it's one of those things, like I said, that is an American icon, just being that peaceful transition of power. But the government doesn't stop. I mean, you're not going to be, you guys got to get back to work.
That we do. And the real weight on this one is on the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
So, you run for an office, you talk about different things, and boom, today you get the keys. Now the question is, what are you going to do with them? So, there are a lot of folks, in different departments of the administration that absolutely are busy in the transition of power that's taking place as we move from one administration to another.
Right. We're seeing a lot of members of the House that are going to be, I guess, boycotting the inauguration today. You feeling a whole lot of that on the floor there with a lot of people that just don't want to show up?
No, it's too confusing. It's too busy. I mean, right now, literally, Capitol Hill is a series of different barricades, walls, I mean, literally 8 to 10 feet tall. It's I guess a phenomenon of post 9/11, the different world that we live mm-hmm. in. It's also just a phenomenon of huge crowds. So if you have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people descending on Capitol Hill in a relatively short stretch of time here over the next couple of hours, the question is, how do you get them through? Get them through security and get them to where they got to get. And that's what's taking place right now. And so it's a beehive of activity, comes with its fair share of confusion.
Right.
People trying to figure out, how do I go from here to there?
Yeah, we're talking with Congressman Mark Sanford. Congressman, they always talk about the first 100 days of the presidency. What do you think Donald Trump really needs to do in the first 100 days to solidify himself or really set his tone for his administration?
Well, part of it's procedural. I mean, this idea of that which was created by the pen can die by the pen. With regard to executive order, I think you're going to see a lot of initial movements there. The platform has been set for the repeal of Obamacare, but I think it's going to be equally important, based on the number of people who have contacted our office, to come up with not just replace, but what comes next. Excuse me, not just repeal, but what comes next in the way of replacement. And so you're going to see a robust legislative activity on the Hill, and a lot of bills actually becoming law, I think, in the first 100 days, sort of between here and summer. But I think it's also, from a tone standpoint, he needs to tone down the Twitter account. I mean, I think he's engaging with too many people. I think, once you've stepped into this office, he needs to say, a lot of this stuff, a lot of the skirmishing back and forth is beneath this office. I'm not going to deal with every ankle biter that comes my way.
Right, because there are plenty out there. So what about repealing Obamacare? Have you seen any action on the replacement of it?
I see about face with regard to, for instance, Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, for a long time had talked about just repeal, and the House has already begun that process, at least creating a vehicle by which to do so. But now, within the last 2 weeks, he's shifted from repeal to repeal and replace.
Right.
And that's based on, again, the number of people that have contacted our office with concerns there is remarkable. And I suspect that phenomenon has been, duplicated in, all 435 congressional districts.
Oh, sure. Now, what about any plans? Have you seen any plans coming across?
Yeah. I mean, there's three primary plans. There's what we call the Better Way plan. There's a Republican Study Committee plan. There is Tom Price's plan, who's now going to be, director over at Health and Human Services, but
right.
He was a House member. I think that those are probably the three main plans, and you can take principles or ideals from each one of those plans, and I think that's ultimately the bill that we end up with.
So any that you tend to favor right now?
I like pieces of all. I actually like Tom Price's plan. I think there are a lot of things that make sense about it, but it's going to end up, there are going to be some changes tied to the feedback that's coming in long and strong on for instance, pre-existing conditions.
Right.
The number of people that have contacted our office on that front is phenomenal. And so I think you're going to see, some tweaking of each one of those three plans with regard to things like pre-existing conditions.
So it's quite possible that you could take a clause from Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C, and come up with the final product, right?
And that's going to be done quickly.
Yeah.
People want to know what's coming next.
Absolutely, because I don't think they want to, what am I going to do about health insurance or what are my plans going to be?
Yeah, it's been worked on for the next year. That's not a message that's going to fly. I mean, people, it's a really personal issue. It's something people care deeply about, their own health and what comes next. If I get cancer, am I covered?
Right.
It's not something people want to have a void on.
Congressman Mark Sanford, are we seeing any? I know right now a lot of people that are going to be protest in Washington. They're protest in New York. Do you see any signs of this country coming together after the inauguration?
I don't know. Some of it may be a phenomenon of social media where people will rip each other's faces off in a way that they never would person to person.
Right.
And that phenomenon sort of, multiplies as you get it heightened and stretched by media and coverage. I guess the question is this. We better, because our country ultimately is, not like Bosnia or a lot of other places where ethnicity or where you were born or raised drove your response to different issues. But what I'd say is there are real strains there, and we can only hope that that is the case. It's not to say we'll all get along perfectly. That's never been the history of our republic. But we probably need to find ways of working over some of these rough edges.
All right. Well, I know you got a very, very busy day. You got a lot of things to attend. So we will let you go this morning, but I appreciate you calling in, sir.
Yes, sir. You take good care.
You too. We'll talk to you soon. Congressman Mark Sanford on with us this morning on 1250 WTMA. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Jim Roop. He's in New York. He's covering the protest for us on 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 49 minutes and 15 seconds until Donald Trump takes the oath of office on the Capitol steps in Washington, D.C., and Barack Obama will be former president Barack Obama. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Officials with the International Association of Machinists have confirmed that they have filed a petition to hold a union election at Boeing and their North Charleston facility. And they say that that's going to give roughly 2,850 workers a say on whether they want to be represented by organized labor. They say that Boeing workers just want to be treated with respect that they deserve. Now, this is Mike Evans. He's the IAM's lead local organizer, and I guess he gets to speak for everybody there at Boeing. He says, why should they be subject to a different set of standards and rules than folks building the exact same plane in Seattle? Because we're not Seattle. Of course, Boeing makes the 787 Dreamliner. He went on to say that Boeing workers have contacted the union in recent months with complaints about unfair raises being given to some employees but not others, inconsistent scheduling policies, and a, quote, lack of respect on the shop floor. Now, Boeing spokeswoman Lori Gunter said the IAM had not notified the company of its plans to file for a union election. This was as of yesterday. She said the Boeing employees have been focused on production of the first 787-10, which is the largest of the Dreamliner family, and that's going to be built exclusively in North Charleston. Those first test flights are expected to be this spring. She went on to say that we've said consistently over the past several years, and we continue to believe that a union is not in the best interest of our teammates, our business, our community, or our state. This is going to be the second time the IAM has filed a petition in 2 years. The last one came in, 2015, when union officials said the company had created a toxic environment. Remember the toxic environment, a toxic environment on the floor. And they said that they used misinformation and outside political interference. So Boeing and the IAM, once again, they're going to be putting the petition in to see if there's going to be a vote. And I think that's the way it works. They see if they've got enough votes, and then if they do it, some of the things that they're able to do legally is kind of creepy to me. The fact that, you know, you can give out a worker's home phone number, a worker's address, and all of this personal information about these folks, I don't want outside agencies coming in knowing all that stuff about me, so that's kind of creepy, but we'll find out what happens, I guess. When's that going to come up? That vote's going to come up. Trying to find out. Oh, well. Anyway, they filed a petition to hold the election. We'll find out what happens with that. And it looks like we're going to be talking with a member of the Machinist Union coming up on Monday. So you want to keep it right here on WTMA. Don't forget, we're going to be covering the inauguration live this morning. That's going to be this morning starting at 11:30. That will start coming from Washington, D.C., as Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States at 8:40 this morning. We're going to be talking with Jim Roop because there was a lot of folks, a lot of folks are there. They're excited. They're ready to get the president inaugurated. But some folks are against it. They're holding some protests. I remember There was a demonstration last night. A couple of things I want to play for you. Here's Alec Baldwin last night at a protest in New York City, right there near Trump Tower.
I just want to say, I've been standing out here in the freezing cold for a long time. I have to go to the bathroom. I have to pee. But I'm holding it in. I'm holding it in. I'm not going to pee. I'm going to a function at the Russian consulate tonight. I'm going to hold it until I get there. And then when I get to the Russian consulate, I'm going to have a really, really long pee. Biggest pee I've ever had in my lifetime.
Wow, he's a classy guy, isn't it? Isn't he, Alec Baldwin? He's just so full of class.
That is so, so funny.
I bet he got all the writers from Saturday Night Live to come up with that 27 seconds of comedy gold right there. All right, coming up next, going to play you a clip from a kid who started a fire and one of the protests last night. We'll have that for you in just a minute on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Interesting concept.
On 1250 WTMA.
The TMA Morning Show continues next.
Filing another petition for a vote to see if they're going to unionize out at Boeing. Let's go to Matt west of the Ashley. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning. Happy inauguration day.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to that coming up.
I just hope we play our cards right with this next 4 years coming up.
But definitely.
Listen, I want to talk. You briefly touched on this Boeing thing.
Yeah.
And it just made me realize something. And I don't know why a lot of people haven't brought this up. It's just a simple thing for a simple guy. The union, union, a non-government entity.
Right.
Could force Boeing to give all of their employees phone numbers, addresses,
yes,
dates, times that they work. Now, if I just for you or John, do you think I could go into WTMA now and say I would like to have their personal address and their personal contact information? Would you, if they gave it to me, which I know they wouldn't? Don't you think you would sue the crap out of them?
You would, yeah, but the government, the federal government, and the several courts have ruled that this is the way it's supposed to work.
Right, and when did that happen? That happened during Obama's terms.
Right.
And it actually happened during the bailout of the GM union. So I just thought that was weird. It just kind of popped into my head. I'm thinking, that would take a search warrant for somebody to come into any place of office, any place of employment,
right,
to get that kind of information. And they just can get it freely. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. They say that the union may collect personal identification information, including but not anyway. I mean, they can pretty much have all the information on you that the company knows.
Absolutely. And that includes the car that the I would imagine the car, the guy or gal,
yeah,
employee, let's just use non-sex.
Non-gender. Right.
Non-gender,
yeah.
Thank you. The car that they check into the place of employment so they could drive by and see if that car is there. So it's just the whole thing is...
It's creepy to me.
It's an uneven deck. Maybe Trump will take care of that for us.
Maybe. Well, here's the thing. But what they say, well, the company has this information. We should have this information. Well, I'm sorry. I choose to go to work for that company, and I want them to hold my information private. I don't want them giving it away to a third party.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, if I went to WTMA and wanted you or Fred's or Q's information, they'd laugh at me.
Absolutely, yeah. And rightfully so. Matt, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Thank you very much. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Of course, there's that Women's March on Washington coming up. In just a second, I'm going to tell you about this. But there was a protest in Washington, D.C. last night. And apparently some of the folks decided to start a fire. One of them was a young man named Carter.
Fire broke out just behind us. There was a fire over here. We'll show you where that was. That's the ashes now just sort of starting to simmer right in the middle of this. Excuse me one second. Pardon me one second. This fire was started. In fact, this young man, you were participating in the fire. What's your name?
My name's Carter, and I actually kind of started this fire.
So why'd you start that fire, Carter?
It's Carter.
Sorry, why'd you start that fire?
Because I felt like it, and because I'm just saying, screw our president.
That's it.
Okay, well,
that's
it.
That should be the motto of the left, because I felt like it and screw the president. Now, this is a young kid. He looked maybe 10, 11, 12 years old talking like that. Way to go, Mom and Dad. Oh, you're awesome. You are absolutely awesome. That's some good parenting skills right there. You should be very proud. And now your son, Carter, my name's Carter, is a poster child for the left. Good job. Mike's in Somerville. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
Just a good day. You know, I'm just really looking forward to the inauguration and everything. But a lot of the Malcolm and all the people are probably it's probably the worst day for them crying. But anyhow, it's a warm
yes.
day. I just wanted to comment. I don't know if anybody's ever mentioned this. You know, the well, the cream puffs, the crybabies, it's not coming that going to show up for the nomination, you know, the congressman.
Right.
You know, those 67 seats or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it would really be cool if they would just, right before the presentation, just go out and randomly pick 67 people. I know they'd have to screen them and check.
Right,
them,
yeah.
And just bring them in. If they don't want to sit in those seats, let's let the American people sit in those seats.
That, I think that's a great idea, Mike, and you're right. I appreciate you calling in. I mean, they give them to average American people. I know the security concerns about that and all that, but still, it's in theory, it's a fantastic idea. All right, so this Women's March on Washington, this is hilarious. There is a hashtag out there called hashtag rename Million Woman March. I will repeat that for you if you want to take a look at this. Hashtag rename Million Woman March. So these folks went onto Twitter and they started renaming the Million Woman March. And I'm going to give you just a couple of them here. The Privileged, Pampered Western Women Who Think They're Living in Saudi Arabia March. The Why Didn't Daddy Love Me March. The I'm a Strong Independent Woman Who Don't Need No Man But You Need to Pay for My Birth Control March. The We Are Still Angry About Dad Not Being Around March. The We Kicked Out Pro-Life Women and Some White Women from the March But Pretend to Support Women March. The I Want Equal Pay But Want Government to Pay for My Birth Control and Everything Else March. The I Demand Equal Rights But I'd Also Demand Special Treatment March. The only... Some of these are hilarious. The only exercise we'll get all year March. The the Brainwashed Brigade. And this is probably the worst one off, but I'm going to read it anyway. I don't care because I thought it's funny. The Million Overweight Childless Feminist Cat Lady Waddle March. So that's one of them. Now, this woman up in, I think she's up in Greenville, Michelle Gardner. She said that, you know, this march is for all women.
This is not an anti-Trump protest. We're not trying to make it to exclude any group. It's the opposite.
That is the biggest load of hooey I've ever heard. First of all, this march did, because I've been following it from the beginning, this march did start out as an anti-Trump march, and they have actually excluded certain groups from this march, like the New Wave Feminist, who, by the way, are a pro-life group. It's 8:29 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Good morning, Sean. Happy Inauguration Day.
Happy Inauguration Day there, Mr. Charlie.
Yes, sir. What's up, buddy?
Great day, man. Hey, concerning all these clowns that Obama has released from prison.
Yeah.
What happens when these people go back to harm people, man, as a direct result of him letting them out?
It's happened before, and it's going to happen again. In fact, the last round, I think he pardoned I think it was like 300 or 400. Yeah. 60% of those people had gun charges against
right.
them.
Right. You and I both know that the chances are very good that one or more of these people are going to return to their criminal activity.
Oh, absolutely. That's right.
I hope it really doesn't happen, but... And if it does happen, I hope it comes back out that he was a direct cause of that.
And you're right. I mean, this has happened before in the past. I appreciate you calling in, John. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. It wasn't the 300 that he pardoned yesterday. It was the last round of commutations that he had, where 60% of those people had gun charges against them. I mean, we're talking about trafficking stolen guns, being in possession of a gun by a felon, stolen guns, and things like that. So you have to wonder, I mean, come on. These folks aren't going to go out there and say, well, you know what, I got away with that. I better get on the straight and narrow. How about that? No, we're not going to be seeing that at all. Right now, let's go to the phones, and I believe he's in Washington, D.C. We got Jim Roop. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm wet. And I'm cold.
Is it raining already?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's not raining that badly right now, but we expect it to come up pretty strong here over the next few hours.
So where are you right now there in Washington?
I am at McPherson Square, which is where many of the some 30 permitted protests are going to be happening mm-hmm. today in connection with the inauguration. They were out here practicing earlier with what to do when they commit their act of civil disobedience and try and block
some of the areas, the access that ticketed people have to get into the inauguration and its events.
Right.
They were practicing on how to do that, how to handle it when the police come up behind them and try to lift them by their arms, so on and so forth. So it was quite a thing to watch. I've never seen protest practice before.
Yeah, we're
that rehearsal today.
They're having a protest rehearsal. That's unusual. Okay, I can see some guy out there going, "Cut! Cut! No, no, no! That is not the way. That is not the way we practice this." So you said 30 permitted protests. Are there people expected to show up that don't have a protest permit?
And that is the big concern. Yeah, they don't know. It's one thing to know who's going to be here and how to prepare for it numbers wise. It's another thing to not know who's going to be here and what their agenda might be. Everybody here has an agenda of some kind. Whether it be the Dakota Pipeline or whether it be Donald Trump and his administration, whether it be economic injustice, whatever it is, there are people from every aspect, every possible protest is here. Most of it anti-Trump, at least where I am, it is anyway.
Right.
So, but it's the folks whose agenda they don't know, even the lone wolf type actors. There, that's a big concern, which is why there is so much security, not just what we can see, but what we can't see. We're told that there is just as much that we don't see
right,
as there is that we do.
I'm sure there are a lot of people in the crowd that are undercover making sure that everybody behaves. So how did you get the short straw? How did you get the – Jim, we're going to send you with the protesters today.
You know, I'm the guy from L.A. You know, they're going to make me travel across country, and they're going to throw me out in the street. Hey, let's let him enjoy the D.C. weather, shall we?
There you go. It's from sunny California to rainy, dreary Washington, D.C., and you're stuck with the protesters. All right, so again, 30 ticketed protesters, they're going to do barricades and try to block the marches throughout the day. On an average, I mean, what are you looking at the percentage-wise of expecting the amount of protesters versus people that are going to be pro-Trump today?
Well, you know what they were telling us, that it's going to be about even.
Really?
I don't know. I don't see it. I honestly do not see it. I've not seen, most likely, all of the pro-Trump folks have tickets to get into the event.
Right.
Most of what I have seen so far have been people protesting against. So I know that there were some clashes yesterday between some pro-Trump folks and anti-Trump folks. But so far today, nothing, because there are no supporters here just yet anyway. Of course, it is still early
right
here. It is only, what, 8:45, so the inauguration is still, a little over three hours away, and then the parade that follows that. So it'll heat up, but right now it's just all anti.
Absolutely. All right, Jim, we appreciate it. Stay dry there in Washington, D.C.
We'll do our best. Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Jim Roop from Washington, D.C. this morning. Let's go to Malcolm in Somerville. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
No, I'm just fine.
Good.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
And congratulations. You got the country back today, huh?
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Listen, let me ask you a question. For people who are the head of the Republican Party, or titular head of the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh and people like Chris Plant and all these different people, when they said, "I hope that he fails," don't you think that they owe the country an apology? Because that way things will get healed over. When they say, "I hope he fails," when we were happy, when we were glad that the president had made it, that's the way most people like him in the Republican Party felt. And now you want us to be really joyful and happy, whatever, because Trump is coming in office. But don't you think that if these people should give us an apology and get the country started off the right way?
No, not at all. How many protests did you see with Obama during his inauguration? How many protests? None.
What I'm saying is that somebody should, from the Republican Party, say, "Listen, get this thing going the right way. We apologize, or make some kind of something that people like Rush Limbaugh held the Republican Party, but they said, 'I hope he failed.'"
All right. And of course you know that he was talking about Obama's policies, right?
Okay, well, his policies, so what's the difference? I mean, his policies, he said, What's the difference? Don't you think that that was dirty? That was a glorified thing for him to say with a new president starting off his career as president of this country with something like that? With,
hey, so you're gonna take one statement from one guy 8 years ago.
One guy that's the head of the Republican Party.
Right.
He's not just one some guy. So you don't think that...
But first of all, Malcolm, he's not the head of the Republican Party. I hate to disillusion you on that and maybe even disillusion him about that, but he is not the head of the Republican Party. As of a couple of hours from now, Donald J. Trump will be the head of the Republican Party. It's 10 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. This morning has just flown by, but we've still got more to go, a lot more to go with the next hour. Right now, let's give you a little countdown here. 2 hours, 53 minutes, and 15 seconds until the swearing-in of Donald J. Trump as the 45th president of the United States. There are protests going on right now in Washington, D.C. Let's talk to Chris in Somerville about those. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good, Charlie. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I was watching footage this morning of the protesters.
Yeah.
Last night, and it's really just sad and sickening and disgusting. But I did have a funny thought. I saw these protesters attacking this elderly couple. I mean, really, throwing bottles at them.
Yeah.
And the cops are running up with the pepper spray and, you know, trying to fight them back. With all these bikers that are there, they should take a couple hundred bikers and dress them up as elderly people and then send them towards the protesters. Attack them.
Yeah.
Rip off the disguises. This is going to be a, you know what moment for them. Sit back. Pop some popcorn and watch as the hilarity begins.
I tell you what, there is nothing strong, there is nothing courageous, there is nothing good in any of these protesters out there. They're a bunch of weak-minded, lily-livered wimps.
It's just, I mean, and the thing is, you know, you really don't see it in the South. And I always say the reason is, because number one, we can legally carry, and number two, we have men down here.
Now, right.
I'm saying there's no men up north. I'm originally from Jersey. But it's just sad to see that the areas of the country where there's is, and it's become acceptable.
Yeah.
It's like, there's going to be a protest today. Let's shut down our business.
Right.
You know, I mean, no. Grab some clubs. You know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not encouraging violence, but I'm just saying enough is enough. When there's a wolf at your door, you don't talk to it. You take care of it.
I agree.
That's what we need to start doing.
I agree with you, Chris. Thank you very much for calling in. These people, I mean, they're branding the hell, and you know, the left, they use the word courageous, you know, a lot. Amy Schumer poses nude for a magazine, and they called it courageous. Why? Because she's overweight. That took a lot of courage. What was her name? John, what was her name? Gave the ridiculous speech at the award show the other night. You know what I'm talking about.
Meryl Streep.
That was a courageous speech by Meryl Streep. How was that courageous? You're standing in a room full of people that feel exactly the same way as you do, and you're giving a courageous speech? There's no threat of backlash there. You don't have to worry about that. That's not courage. No, that's pandering. Pure and simple. So protests going on right now in Washington, D.C. In fact, I was just watching a bit of a video from some protesters, and looks like the police aren't. They're not carting them off. They're trying to block people from getting to the inauguration. Police aren't carting them off. They're just they're letting them stay. They're just kind of, you know, give them a little slap on the wrist. All right, let's go to Washington, D.C. right now. We've got Bob Constantini on with us. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Charlie, good to be with you from about 30 yards away or so from the podium.
Ah.
Where today at noon, President Donald Trump will be sworn in.
Now, there's been some big talk this morning because very soon the president and the president-elect will leave the White House and go to the Capitol steps for the inauguration ceremony. They're talking about watch the body language between these two. What are we looking for here?
Well, after the election and all the things that they said about each other when they first met, and the fact that the
president, even at his news conference the other day, said he's, you know, he talks to Donald Trump. They're very cordial conversations. They've had some interesting things to say about each other and about each other's position, if you will, since then. Just look at the part, the commutation of the sentence of Chelsea Manning,
right?
That was announced the other day that Mr. Obama had to talk about it at his news conference. They certainly disagree about that. They disagree probably about a lot of things. And Mr. Obama obviously is very concerned about what's going to happen to the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think body language will be interesting to see. But they'll smile, I suppose, right up here together. I'd love to hear what these conversations are about. You know, perhaps just pleasantries, really.
Right.
Over some coffee, tea, and continental breakfast. So.
Is this all you can eat?
So the
inauguration, the swearing in, is going to be starting right around noon today. Then what happens?
Well, then the new president will deliver his inaugural address. We're told, Charlie, it's going to be 20, maybe 25 minutes long, but he's still working on it as we speak, or as they've been, you know, up until this morning. They went to by the way, they had a prayer service at St. John's Church, which is right by the White House. It's known as the Church of the Presidents.
Right.
And the Trumps will be heading over to the White House if they haven't gotten there yet. I'm not exactly sure because I'm up by the Capitol.
Are you there? Bob, all right, you back, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. A lot of people using phones here, too, Charlie.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. But I've got some breaking news for you, Bob. You might want to pass this along. Apparently, Melania Trump is wearing Ralph Lauren today.
All right.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I know. That was one of the big things that everybody was concerned about. Has the rain started to fall?
I've asked that question a few times, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Has the rain started to fall?
It has been spritzing on and off. There's some plastic covering up my equipment here. But the chance of rain is supposed to be 80% at noon when the swearing-in actually goes on and when the new president will deliver his State of the Union address. They've got plastic covering the podium, plastic covering the VIP chairs, and they have umbrellas there. But those who are coming in here, other than those VIP chairs, are not allowed to bring in umbrellas.
Right.
And even the people way off in the distance aren't allowed to bring in pointed umbrellas, but they can have little pocket umbrellas or compact umbrellas.
Right.
But this, you know, and that's the way it is.
What about the protesters? Are the protesters, how close are they able to get to the podium?
Well, they're going to be at some distance from what we understand. There are places off in the distance of the National Mall, and you have to enter it about a mile from here, where the general public is allowed to come stand once they're checked. And I suppose some of the protesters may get in there, and the law enforcement personnel will have to make sure that the Trump supporters, if you want to call them that, and the protesters don't tangle in any particular way or any troublesome way. The bikers for Trump, Charlie, have announced that they're going to provide the meat, as they put it.
Wall of meat.
The wall of meat to make sure that the protesters do not get anywhere near the new president. So we'll have to see how that all plays out.
We'll see how that works out.
Case law enforcement can't handle it.
There you go. You know what? Why does this just, I mean, it just seems like if anybody tries to tangle with these bikers, I don't think that's going to work out in their favor on this thing. All right,
well,
Bob. We appreciate it, buddy. You stay dry and we'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Bob Constantini calling in from Washington, D.C. Coming up, we'll be talking with Steve Kastenbaum. He is on the parade route. And the parade expected to last about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, you know, 75 minutes thereabouts. This is in no way. And I like this. I really do. I like the fact that there's not going to be 10 presidential balls where everybody, all of these people, when they're just fawning all over. I'm so glad that's not happening. Apparently they're going to be three parties for the president tonight. Three galas, and it goes to show a lot about Donald Trump. I think that he doesn't believe this is all about him. And for as much talk over the past year has been over how egotistical and how arrogant and, you know, and what a egomaniac that Donald Trump is, we're going to see a very, it seems to be, low-key, conservative inauguration. And I like that. 16 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Oh, I'm just a wreck. This thing is all anybody can talk about.
On 1250 WTMA.
There's more Charlie James coming up next on WTMA.
I've been standing out here in the freezing cold for a long time. I have to go to the bathroom. I have to pee. But I'm holding it in. I'm holding it in. I'm not going to pee. I'm going to a function at the Russian consulate tonight. I'm going to hold it until I get there. And then when I get to the Russian consulate, I'm going to have a really, really long pee. Like the biggest pee I've ever had in my lifetime.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, ha, 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 ha. The guy, Alec Baldwin. Now, remember, this is Alec Baldwin that called his daughter, I think she was 8 or 9 years old, called her a selfish, greedy little pig in a voicemail. You remember that? That drunken, eight-ball-fueled weekend of debauchery with, I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it's a funny comment. So Alec Baldwin, just not funny. So is that it? I mean, he's just going to be that one-trick pony, and that's all he's got. He gets about $1,400 on Saturday Night Live every time he does that. So that's a pretty good gig if you can get it. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. And again, they're having this Women's March on Washington tomorrow. And this woman, Michelle Gardner, she's up there in Greenville, Spartanburg. And up there, she's saying that this Women's March that they're having isn't anti-Trump. I'll play this for you.
This is not an anti-Trump protest.
No, I'll stop you there, Michelle Gardner. I will. Let me do some mansplaining to you, because what you just said is wrong, okay? What you just said is absolutely wrong. This is an anti-Trump march. It was conceived, if you'll pardon the term, as an anti-Trump march. It started, it was birthed as an anti-Trump march, and it still is.
We're not trying to make it to exclude any group that's the opposite.
No, I'm gonna have to interrupt you there again, Michelle Gardner, because that's exactly what you guys have done. You have excluded groups that don't agree with your political philosophy, such as the New Wave Feminist, who are a pro-life feminist group. Oh, we can't have them women in our march. We can't have those people marching with us. If you guys are so diverse, how about some diversity of thought? How about that? That would be nice, wouldn't it? Elise is on John's Island. Good morning, Elise. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What's up?
I just want to say to all the people that are out there who are naysayers about Trump, I'm not a big Trump person.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that. I said, but give the man a chance. I have been amazed by, I've been watching the hearings of his cabinet. And let me tell you something. Nikki Haley?
Yeah.
Was amazing.
Yeah, she was very impressive.
Very impressive. Keep an eye on her, people. Keep an eye on her.
Right.
Bigger and better things. And, you know, my son saw that child that was very blank Trump,
right,
that they've been showing on Fox News. And he was like, what would you do if I did that? I said, I would knock the crap out of you.
Oh, yeah.
At the age of 10, this is not about, this is all about respect.
Right.
I did not agree. I do not agree with the Democratic Party in a lot of their views and opinions. But I respected enough of the presidency's office. I mean, the presidency's status, because I watched Obama get into office. I watched the whole thing, like I'm going to do today with my kids.
Right.
Today, I'm taking them out of school. It is.
Oh, that's interesting. Elise, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much. I'm going to tell you coming up about a school that is not going to let some of their students watch the inauguration coming up. Yeah. Can you believe that? this school is not allowing their students to watch the inauguration today because it might be too traumatic for them. It might be, too traumatic for these precious little snowflakes. That's it. That's exactly what you want to do. You just forget it's happening. No. Don't give the students the opportunity. I mean, hell, we watched the space shuttle blow up. We watched the space shuttle blow up when we were kids. Not kids, but high school. But there were kids that watched the space shuttle blow up. You can't shield people from things like this. Because
that's what happened on 9/11.
Yeah, we watched 9/11. Right. Did you shield them from that? But no, Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, and all of a sudden, this is the most horrible thing that's ever happened in the Thankfully, I was watching Donald Trump last night, and he was standing in front of that Lincoln Memorial, and I said, you know what? Men are back in this country.
Michael Savage Afternoons. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA 1250 Charleston.
2 hours, 23 minutes until Donald Trump takes the oath of office to become the president of the United States. Scott is in North Charleston. Scott, we'll get to you in just a second. Right now, let's go to Steve Kastenbaum. He's on the parade route in Washington, D.C. He's getting rained on. He's probably in a bad mood. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. The light rain has stopped falling here for the time being. I'm outside the White House
in
Lafayette Park, which is where the reviewing stand is set up for the parade, where Donald and Melania Trump and others will watch from. They have a reviewing stand that looks quite presidential.
Yes.
And on either side, there are grandstands set up. There are some early arrivals here who are going to be sitting out here for the next 6 hours.
Wow.
Waiting. I don't know why they show up this early, but there was still plenty of seats. 6 hours before the parade starts, the president-elect and his wife had just taken part in a prayer service at St. John's Episcopal Church behind us here across the street from the park. They started their day at Blair House and now are about to have coffee and tea with the Obamas at the White House. And then from there, the four of them will ride in the presidential limousine over to the Capitol for the swearing-in ceremony.
So, they're going to be quite a long time that they're going to spend together, a couple hours there in the White House.
That's right. They'll spend about an hour or so right now before they head over to the Capitol together. And it looks like I'm watching the crowd right now run to the back of the bleachers, so I think that means that either the president-elect is walking into the White House now. Seems like that's about the right time for this to be happening.
Right.
In a motorcade pulling up to the White House. So this must be Donald Trump making his way over and into the White House from St. John's Church.
So after that happens, then, like I said, they're going to be having coffee together. Then they're going to be heading from the White House over to the Capitol building where the swearing-in ceremony and all the pomp and circumstance is going to happen, right?
Exactly. And people have been filling in there since before dawn, you know, going through security to get to their seats and to the pens where people will be standing for that ceremony. Hundreds of thousands of people in the city today to bear witness to this. Also, tens, if not 100,000 or more protesters in the city right now as well.
Right. I was about to ask you about that. Are we seeing any protesters? I mean, we know that on the outskirts, some of the protesters are gathering, but any there closer to where you are?
Not where I am. We're behind a couple of layers of security, and anyone who is in here has to have either a ticket or a credential. So I'm not sure. I mean, it's possible that some people were able to obtain tickets to the inauguration, but as of right now, I haven't seen anything like that. If you're going to see any of that in front of the cameras, it's more likely to happen along the parade route. And then there are a couple of locations around the city today where there are some protests taking place. Tomorrow, you have hundreds of thousands of people expected for the Women's March here
right.
in D.C. And so that's drawing lots of people into the city as well.
So it's going to be a very busy day. And how long is this the parade going to expect it to last after the swearing in?
It's over an hour, but it's not a very, very long parade. So it's So it's a lot of pomp and circumstance, you know, military right. bands, college bands as well. You know, it's not like the Macy's Fourth. It's not like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. You know,
yeah.
it's a much more formal type affair.
Yeah, of course, the Citadel Band and the Summer All Guard from here in Charleston are going to be in the parade today. So watch for them and give them a big wave.
Okay, will do. Hopefully they won't get too wet.
Yeah, hopefully so. Steve Kastenbaum, we appreciate it, buddy. You stay dry, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Take care.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Kastenbaum calling in from Washington, D.C. Watching right now, it looks like the president-elect is en route to the White House. It looks like Vice President-elect Mike Pence has already arrived. I believe that was him I saw going in. Looked like Kellyanne Conway was also there. Again, watching this live with my reading glasses. So I can't really make... Oh, it looks like President and Michelle Obama are right now standing outside of the White House welcoming visitors. I guess they're going to welcome Donald Trump. Real quick, let's go to Scott. He is in North Charleston. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. What's up?
Yesterday, you started to mention about the school in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I took it upon myself, and I called the school and the school district office.
Right.
About this. And according to them, they were pretty adamant about saying, no, they're going to let their students watch the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
And but when I spoke to the people at the district office, they sounded pretty much like, they were tired of taking phone calls.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet they were. I'll bet they were. Scott, I appreciate you calling in. But what I was talking about, and let me just kind of break down what's happening right now. In front of the White House, President Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, they're standing on a red carpet as this caravan, you know, of course, this motorcade is pulling through right now. And this is a big moment that's going on because this is the tea. If you will, they're going to sit down, they're going to have coffee, they're going to talk for about the next hour until they have to start getting ready. But it looks like right now one of the motorcades, the big black Escalades, has pulled up, and we're going to wait and see if the president-elect gets out of the limousine right now. And somebody's about to get out, so we're going to just kind of, there it is, Donald Trump, president-elect, 45th president of the United States, has arrived at the White House shaking hands right now with President Obama, giving Michelle Obama a hug and a kiss on both cheeks. Looks like Melania Trump is there. She's wearing some kind of a blue, it's a very beautiful outfit, very classy outfit. Michelle and Melania are now hugging and exchanging kisses on each cheek. And it looks like Melania brought Michelle a present, and she doesn't really know what to do with it. Where do I put this? Who do I give it to? So very interesting moment going on right now as President Elect Donald J. Trump and Melania Trump are in the White House. And boy, I tell you what, it's this is something. This is really something to watch. This man who started this campaign a little over a year ago, no political experience whatsoever, had never run for office, was standing on the stage with 16 other GOP nominees, won the primary. Then went on to beat one of the most influential women in the history of American politics in Hillary Clinton, and is now going to be the 45th president of the United States. Donald Trump now walking into the White House with the First Lady and the president, and the doors have shut. The guard has come together, and the doors are shut. They're now inside. We'll keep you updated on what's going on. So I wonder if it's going to be a smooth transition, though. I wonder, it's got to be hard to leave your house after 8 years, right? I would imagine that would be.
Michelle, honey, it's time to go now.
No, no, you can't make me leave. This is my home.
Look, I know it's difficult. I know we've been here for 8 years, but it's time to go now. The plane's not going to wait for us like it used to.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go.
Hey, Barack.
Oh.
No,
hey, Donald.
No, no. You're
right.
No, you are not meant
Mr.
to leave.
Mr. President.
No.
Yeah, that's
no,
better.
I don't want to go.
Listen, Barack, I really thought you would have been out of here by now.
You got me late.
Yeah, we were planning to, but there's a little snafu in the in moving.
Sure sounds like a lot of noise up there. What's going on?
Oh, that's Michelle. She just got her last-minute kickboxing class. She's very, very athletic.
Uh-huh. You gonna pay for that?
Yeah, I'll write you a check.
You're getting vertical with Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show on the Big Talker. 1250 WTMA.
WTMA! 2 hours, 8 minutes approximately until Donald J. Trump becomes the 45th president of the United States. George W. Bush has just showed up at the Capitol with his wife, Laura, former First Lady Laura Bush, giving big hearty handshakes to all of the law enforcement there around the area. So I can't wait to see the coverage when Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton show up at the Capitol. That ought to be interesting to see. I don't know.
And as they walk through the crowd, they're saying, pardon me. Pardon me. Please pardon me.
Pardon me. So, interesting. Interesting.
Charlie, we'd like to remind everybody that you can hear complete coverage of the inauguration, complete commercial-free coverage, starting at 11:30 this morning on WTMA. So if you can't watch it on TV, you should listen to it here. You can listen to it on WTMA.com. So don't worry about that. We've got you covered 11:30 until probably about 1 o'clock coverage of the inauguration of Donald J. Trump.
Because this is big. This is historic. This is something you want your kids to see unless you are the students of this Brett Metier. He is a teacher from Explorer Elementary School in Williamston. This elementary teacher in Michigan, like I said, Brett Metier, listen to the note that he sent home to parents. Now, this is a teacher of young minds, okay? Dear parents, because I am concerned about my students and your children being exposed to language and behavior that is not in concert with the most conservative social and family values, I have decided to show the inauguration of Donald Trump this Friday, but will not view Mr. Trump's inauguration speech because every peaceful transition of power is a historic event, is a historic moment. I put the request in to the Trump team to preview the speech, but I have not heard back from them.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah. I showed the speeches of President Obama and Bush in 2009 and 2005, respectively, but I'm anxious about showing Mr. Trump's inaugural address, giving his past inflammatory and degrading comments about minorities, women, and the disabled. He never said anything about the disabled. I am also uneasy about Mr. Trump's casual use of profanity. So I thought an assurance that as their teacher, I would not be exposing children to language that would not appear to be P or PG rated movies in those movies. I do not know if Mr. Trump's speech is something that would be provided to the press or concerned citizens beforehand, but these plans may change if I hear back from them. You really think that, oh my God, did anybody get my speech out to Brett Metier up there in Michigan? Somebody fax this to him. So this guy thinks that the 45th president of the United States is going to stand up on the podium this afternoon and drop the F-bomb? Really? This guy is an absolute clown.
Yeah, really.
If I were, a parent who had a child in Mr. Metier's class, I would ask for them to be transferred.
You know, teachers are very important people, but some teachers, including college professors, think they're more important than they really are.
Yeah, absolutely. And this guy is obviously one of what a whiny little, ugh.
I just think that he might say something inappropriate. Really? Do you really think that? That's the way you think, huh? Mr. Metier, you genius.
I'm thinking some of these people that don't want the kids to see the Donald Trump inauguration are not doing it on principle, although it probably is very hip among their friends and colleagues who think that way, to say, well, I'm not going to let little Johnny watch it. I think they're more afraid of actually exposing little Johnny and little Mary to new ideas.
Oh, wouldn't that be a novel idea in this country?
And the kids are going to say, what was that, Mom? That wasn't so bad.
Yeah, what was wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong with, wait a minute, Mom, can I ask you a question? What's wrong with keeping illegal immigrants out of this country? What is it? Why do I have to go to my room? What did I do? Yeah. Oh, did you hear that? There was one parent, and I use that term loosely. There was one parent that her son, they had a mock election at his school, and he came home and she asked him who he voted for. And he said he voted for Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump. Here's what this Parent of the Year nominee did. She went in his room. She grabbed a suitcase. She packed it. Gave it to him and said, get out of the house. Now, we're talking about like a first, second, maybe, I'd say maximum second grade kid. Get out of the house. That's how tolerant these people are. You get out of this house. And the child is crying. He's bawling his eyes out. Because here's his mom, who is supposed to be the biggest influence on his life. Here's his mom kicking him out of the house because he voted for Trump. From the last I heard, and I forget where it was, but the Department of, like their equivalent of the Department of Social Services, was looking into it. I mean, that was absolutely child abuse. That was mental torture that she was giving to this kid, threatening to kick him out of the house. So there you go. Mr. Meteor up there in Michigan, not going to let his kids in school watch the Donald Trump speech because he might say something naughty. Oh, boy. All right, there you go. But I'll bet he'll let him watch CNN. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I still can't believe it happened. Could you imagine back when we were having the peaceful transition of power and George W. Bush was leaving office and Barack Obama was coming in? Could you imagine if CNN had ran a story about what would happen if Barack Obama was assassinated at the inauguration? Could you ever imagine CNN running a story like that?
Hey, that'd be racist.
Absolutely would be racist. It would be absolutely horrible. But yet CNN did it the other night. They ran a what-if report. What would happen if President-elect Donald Trump was assassinated during Inauguration Day? The report was titled, Disaster Could Put Obama Cabinet Member in Oval Office. That was the headline. No. There you go. So that's what we got right now. All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Don't forget, today we are going to be running the inauguration starting at 11:30. And I guess until its conclusion around 1 o'clock. And let's see. What's our countdown timer? Let's do a countdown timer again. 2 hours. 1 minute. We are almost under 2 hours. Almost under 2 hours left of hope and change when action is going to take place. So it's going to be an amazing day. It could be a little rainy there in Washington, D.C. this afternoon, as Donald Trump will officially become the 45th president of the United States. Of course, there are some folks that are going to be protesting. We'll talk about that coming up on Monday, and we'll run this whole thing down for you on Monday, including the protests, like I said, that are going to be going on this weekend. We'll check them out here locally and across the country and see exactly how many women show up for this so-called March on Washington. But all in all, by your phone calls this morning, you are a very happy group of people today as we have a new president, Donald J. Trump. You guys get out there and make it a great weekend. We'll see you soon.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.
Charleston. Accumulate.